where retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 2-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A passenger jet's been cleared to continue on to Newark's Liberty Airport in New Jersey after a threat forced it to make an emergency landing in London a few hours ago. Air India says a bomb threat forced that landing of the flight out of Mumbai that was headed to Newark, the plane getting checked out at Stansted Airport and given the okay to keep going. No further details have been released regarding that threat. More testimony is being given in the war crimes court-martial of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher. Another Navy SEAL, Joshua Graffam, was deployed to Iraq with Gallagher, acting as a spotter, and he testified yesterday Gallagher fired his sniper rifle at a man because he thought he was an ISIS fighter, not a civilian. Other witnesses claim Gallagher intentionally fired on Iraqi civilians. Gallagher faces life in prison if he is convicted. It appears a so-called straight pride parade to be held in the city of Boston on August 31st is a step closer to happening. It appears City Hall has signed off on it, but the event does still need some approvals, including from the Boston Police Department and the city's licensing board. Organizers of the parade say it's aiming to celebrate the, quote, diverse history, culture, and contributions of the straight community. Critics of the parade say it's meant to mock the LGBTQ community. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
On today's program, I'll be recapping last night's Democratic presidential debate. I'll also be telling you when is the best time to post on social media for your business and get the most engagement from those posts. I'll have a guide to seasonal hiring. I'll recommend the business podcast you should be listening to, and I'll discuss how the Trump administration tariffs could affect your business. It's Thursday, June 27th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. It's currently 89 degrees at 1205. Today, it'll be sunny with light winds, a high of 90 degrees and a low of 64. For tomorrow, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 92 and a low of 68. For Saturday, we'll have afternoon thunderstorms that will stretch into the evening with a high of 92 and a low of 67. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 86 degrees and a low of 61 degrees.
Every day, taking care of business, every way we
current check of the financial market shows the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 22.73 to 26,514.09. The NASDAQ is up 33.61 to 79.43.58. S&P 500 is up 8.21 to 29.21.99. Oil down 20 cents to 59.18 per barrel. And gold is down $7.10 to $1,408.30 an ounce. All right. Well, once again, welcome to the program. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. I am the host of the program and the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. So glad you could join me as we get together every week at this time talking about business. We talk a little politics. We talk a little bit about issues that affect you as a business owner. And there's no denying that at some point politics may even come into that and affect your business, as it has mine this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. If you are listening, chances are you are somewhere near a computer or a cell phone or tablet. We'd ask you to open up a new URL and go to Facebook and like the page for this show, which is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. So like and follow this page. We give you updates throughout the week of either topics we're going to be talking about. Sometimes you'll see where people will connect with me on that page and ask me a question about running their business, and then we try to do the research on that and bring it back to the program the following Thursday. As a programming note, there will be no show next week. It is July 4th. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, where our studios are housed, will be closed next week. So as a result, there will be no shows. We'll do the replays from previous shows, and it may even be this one. The business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This week it comes to us from Andrew Carnegie, who said, "Teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishments toward organizational objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results." The reason I picked that one was talking with a business owner earlier in the week, and he said that he has great people on his team, but they don't work as a team. They're very individualistic. And when it's department by department and these things have to work together, he says he finds it very hard to get people to cooperate, to keep them on the same page. We're talking about how to schedule the work and communicate the work so that, you know, people know when things are coming. And he's about ready to get rid of his whole team because he said, although individually they're all great, they can't seem to work as a team. And I told him that, you know, there's an old expression in coaching that the name on the front of the jersey is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back of the jersey. And it's the team that you represent that has to come first. And I have always said in all of my coaching, and I've won many championships in various sports, I would rather have 10 average players than 5 superstars because I can teach the average player. I can mold the average player. I can get more out of the average player. The superstar has been so full of mom and dad and everybody else telling them how wonderful they are. They don't want to be taught. They don't want to be shown anything new. And I think at some point they'll plateau as a result. So when we talk about business and we say teamwork is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishments toward organizational objectives, it is the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results. And again, that quote this week comes to us from Andrew Carnegie. I want to talk to you about last night's first Democratic debate. The candidates that were there for night one was Cory Booker, a senator from New Jersey, Julian Castro, the former housing secretary under the Obama administration, Bill de Blasio, the current mayor of New York, John Delaney, who's a former representative from Maryland, Tulsi Gabbard, a representative from Hawaii, Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington State, Amy Klobuchar, who is the senator from Minnesota, Beto O'Rourke, former representative from Texas, Tim Ryan, the representative from Ohio, and Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts. Obviously, when you have these debates, you want to hear what the candidates have to say, and this is where I think NBC dropped the ball. This turned into what I call a shit show early because they lost control within the first 15 minutes and they never got it back. They had technical difficulties at the one-hour mark where microphones were left open. It was just poorly produced, And, you know, Chuck Todd seemed to want to make everything about him. And he was asking the questions and answering the questions before directing the questions, you know, to the candidates. It was kind of a weird thing to see. But you always look for who are the winners, who are the losers, who had a good night, who had a bad night. And I think it's hard to say who had a bad night just because NBC, the moderators, didn't give every person an opportunity to speak. The first 15, 20 minutes were Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren. You know, but as far as John Delaney, Tim Ryan, Jay Inslee, they never really had a good opportunity to speak and answer questions. So as far as losers or people who performed poorly, I would say it was John Delaney, Jay Inslee, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, who is marginable. He could have been on either list, and then Tim Ryan. Those who performed well, Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Bill de Blasio, Tulsi Gabbard, and Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren was surprising in how good she was. There's just one problem with her, and that is that she's really handing away the keys to the candy store. She wants everything to be for free, and it's not sustainable. And I think at some point in the future months, as these debates roll on, she's going to be called out on it. You know, how do you pay for it? And there was an interesting article the other day when you talk about, you know, forgiving all tuition debt, which equals $1.6 trillion. You can't just forgive that debt. Most of those loans were written by banks, and as a result, they're going to want to get paid back. If you were to forgive it and say, we're not paying it back, banks would collapse, and then you would have a worse recession than we've ever seen. So it's not sustainable. Obviously, it would come in the form of some form of another tax, and I don't think it's a tax solely on the wealthy. It'll be across the board. So again, people who already aren't making enough will make even less. Cory Booker did very well. Julian Castro did very well. I think the winner last night, and according to the Drudge Report and other media sources, the overall winner last night was the representative from Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard. She got nearly 40% of people saying that she won the debate. Elizabeth Warren came in second. John Delaney came in third. Gabbard is an Iraq War veteran, a Hindu woman who was born in American Samoa. She is, however, considered controversial due to her foreign policy views. But at least she has foreign policy views, and she's had the experience of serving in Iraq and Afghanistan as a member of the Army National Guard. So Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard, seems to be the winner from last night. Now, tonight is the second Democratic debate, and that will be comprised of Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado, Joe Biden, the former vice president, and Pete Buttigieg, who's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, Kamala Harris, a senator from California, John Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado, Bernie Sanders, a senator from Vermont, Eric Swalwell, representative from California, Marianne Williamson, who is a self-help author, and Andrew Yang, a former tech executive. Four candidates did not qualify for the debates. There was certain qualifications that had to be met based on the number of donations, based on the number of signatures on petitions, things like that. They didn't qualify, so they're out of this first round. There will be other debates, and if they meet the requirements, then maybe they will be allowed to participate. My guess is in the next week or two, from the 20 that appeared so far, at least four will bow out, because what's going to happen is the money will follow the winners. So if you say that Gabbard won, she's going to get an influx of campaign donations. Booker, Castro, Elizabeth Warren, same thing. They're going to see a rise. And then if you were considered a loser, Inslee, Ryan, Klobuchar, O'Rourke, chances are your campaign funding is going to dry up rather quickly. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the right time, the best time to post on social media for your business. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterton Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot, and I am the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and also the host of this program. And again, glad you could join me. I'm going to try to fix this microphone. I apologize for the noise, but it's just a little out of whack. All right, hopefully that's a little better for you. All right, so got a letter or email the other day from a woman talking about social media for her business. And the problem she was having was she was making posts, putting posts out there, but she said she didn't seem to be getting the right, in her mind, rate of return. And she asked, is there a right time, is there a best time or a best practice as to when you should post information about your business on social media? And it just so happens that there is. Now, I've talked to some folks at Google. I've talked to some folks at Facebook and Instagram about what they see is the best rate of return on postings. And there's certain days, certain hours of days, when it's actually better to post. So you've heard me say on the program many times that you definitely need a social media presence. You should be on Facebook. You should be on Instagram, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. And the only caveat to that is that I don't want you to think of LinkedIn as social media like the other three. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, that's social. LinkedIn has told me flat out they don't want to be considered a social media page. They want to be a business page. So when they see content from people that looks like it's just selling products or something like that, it takes away from what their initial intent is for LinkedIn. But as far as posting news about your business, obviously, or about you as a professional, that is the place to go. So most people are familiar with social media for personal use. Small businesses need to be using these tools to be where the people are. Using such sites for business is a little different than using them personally. To be successful, you have to think a little differently. So what are the key differences between a personal and a business social media page? Now, you probably use your personal accounts based on what you like and how you feel like sharing. Businesses have to take a different attitude, and there are 6 things that you need to consider and remember when posting for your business. You want to pick your social media platform based on your customer, not just what you like. You want to have a plan, and you want to have goals. Don't just post when you feel like it. You want to stay engaged with your customers. Interact with your audience. You have to reply to any customers, tag customers, and chat with people. Thank your customers for reviews and act on negative reviews. You can't simply post and forget. And don't just post to make sales. Emphasize the value in your industry. Show your customers that you understand what they need. Schedule posts to reach your audience when they're online. Analyze your posts to see which ones are doing well to hone your strategy. And use analytics to be more effective on those platforms. So as a business owner, which social media platform does your business need to be on? Well, it's better for a business to have an effective presence on one or two platforms than to be hit and miss across several. There are close to 75 social media platforms. Now, you probably haven't heard of all of those, and I'm sure there's even more, but if you were to try to have content on all 75, you would fail miserably at all of them. So it's best to take the top six or seven and pick which ones you will find your audience at the most. So in order to have that effective presence on one or two platforms rather than being that hit or miss on several, choosing the right one depends on both on your product and service and your customer. That last part of the sentence is probably the most important, and your customer. You know, you can have the greatest product in the world, but if you're not getting it in front of the right people, it's going to affect sales. So number one is Facebook. It's the most popular social media network. Business pages are finding it more difficult to get organic advertising, but Facebook can still be a good resource. Don't be shy about posting information about your business that doesn't include a sale. If we'll post a video every year of how the Super Bowl trophy is made, and it gets great engagement. People love seeing that video. I've posted it every year for about 6 years in a row. They love seeing it because it's timely at that moment. Another one is the literal abuse that has happened to the Stanley Cup trophy over the years. It's been left on the side of the road. It's been bounced around in the back of trucks and trunks in vehicles. People have eaten out of it, peed in it, drunk champagne out of it, whatever the case may be. It's a trophy that's had a very storied past, and people will engage in that. If you have a large project going on, show the team working on the project and mention the customer so that people will say, wow, he just mentioned that company on his Facebook page. That's going to gain some engagement because chances are at some point they're going to want you to mention their company as well. Instagram is a great visual platform. If you have a product that is very visual, so it could be everything from jewelry to ladies' apparel to trophies to anything you do that has a visual element. Even somebody who, like my brother-in-law, that has a large equipment hauling company, if he's got a huge piece of equipment on the back of a flatbed, he's going to be closing down the George Washington Bridge in the middle of the night to haul it across into New York City, take pictures of that and post it to show people what you do. Not everybody can transport a 100-ton crane across the George Washington Bridge. He can, so you want to make sure that you're showing your capabilities. Landscapers, same thing. A beautifully landscaped lawn with beautiful straight lines, edging that's done perfectly, mulch beds that look beautiful. You want to be showing those pictures because everybody has that curb envy. They want their lawn to look just as nice as that lawn you're posting. So Instagram is a popular visual network, and it's extremely popular for your business. You want high-quality videos and photos that stand out. Twitter is a highly active or interactive platform that can quickly spread the word. It's not right for every business. Twitter can take a lot of energy and input, but it can also keep you in touch with your users and followers. Pinterest is another platform, and it's a great for niche businesses that use pictures. Food, exercise, beauty, and fashion businesses have the best success. Snapchat is the platform is known for its visual content that disappears after 24 hours. It's geared more towards younger users, but the platform has expanded into chat, events, and media content that can be saved and uploaded elsewhere. YouTube is a video sharing platform and highly creative. Businesses often partner with YouTube influencers who already have a large audience to promote products and services. A lot of businesses are creating YouTube channels, and they'll put out a segment every week. Could be a minute and a half, 2 minutes, talking about their business, their products, their industry, but engaging with their customers, and you can get people to subscribe to your YouTube channel. Again, LinkedIn is the professional platform. It's a good place for businesses to become industry experts and build company culture, but it's not for every business, and it can promote your company to other professionals. But again, you don't want to be pushing product here. This is where you're just talking about the capabilities of your business or yourself. So how do you use social media wisely? It can be a great tool for your business. Don't just jump in without having a plan and goals. That might work for you personally, but successful businesses use their time and resources sensibly to work smarter, not harder. Here again, you want to be thinking, as I talked about earlier in the year, you want to be thinking 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months out. You know, so what's coming up? We're coming up on July 4th. Is your business going to have any kind of promotion around Independence Day? If it is, you need to be out there visually. So if it's an Independence Day sale, something like that, post pictures of what you're selling. If you're going to be closed, let your customers know that, either on Facebook, Instagram, or any of the others. Just saying, hey, we're closed today. We're celebrating, you know, our country. We'll open and tell them the day you're coming back. You want to be consistent. You can't just post once and walk away and come back a month later and things like that. You want to have some consistency. Every couple of days posting something on Facebook. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be five times a day. And very often what you'll find is that the people who are following you, if they get too many posts, they're going to stop because they don't need that, you know, influx in their inbox. I know I hate it. When my email inbox gets two or three messages from the same, you know, company every day, I hate it. When my Facebook feed is getting bombarded every day with something else, if they would space it out once a day, once every other day, it might be a little more tolerable. Now let's talk about the best times to post. This is something that I wanted to show visually, but the Facebook feed is not up today, so we'll just go off the description, and then I will probably post this on the Taking Care of Business page. Later tonight. So for Facebook, the best days to post are Sunday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday has a 32% higher engagement. People have downtime. They're probably looking at their cell phone a little bit more. The best time to post is between 6 and 8 a.m. and between 2 and 5 p.m., so just before people go to work and as they're getting ready to leave work. The worst time is between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., so stay away from those times. The weekend will give you the highest engagement. Thursday and Friday, the second highest engagement. You probably, although it's not a bad idea to post Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're not going to get as much of a response. So Saturday, Sunday, average 32% higher engagement. Thursday, Friday, 18% engagement. On Twitter, the best day of the week to tweet would be on Wednesday between 1 and 3 p.m., the worst time between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. Only one day a week is better. B2B performs 16% better during business hours. B2C performs 17% better on weekends. On Pinterest, the best days of the week, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday for food, Sunday for travel. Monday is great for fitness, Tuesday for gadgets, Wednesday for quotes, Thursday for outfits, Friday for gifts. Best times again to post on Pinterest, 8 to 11 p.m., 2 to 4 p.m. Worst times are 1 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 7 p.m. If you're also posting during the week, try to target the top subjects of the day that I just mentioned. Now, LinkedIn, again, you want to keep this business-centric, not, hey, this is our latest sale, this is our latest product, things like that. Best time to post, 7 to 8:30 in the morning and 5 to 6 in the afternoon. Worst time, between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. Best days, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Worst days, Monday and Friday. Very low engagement on either Monday or Friday on LinkedIn. So, again, I'm going to post that infographic up on our page so that you can see what is the best times to be posting on social media. Again, I've been saying this for years, that you need to be on social media, your business needs to be on social media, and you need to start doing it and being a prolific poster. And we'll talk more about that right after the break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking Supreme Court news, a controversial citizenship question will apparently not be added to the 2020 census based on a Supreme Court ruling that came down just a short time ago. Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's four liberal justices in a 5-4 ruling against adding a question to the census about whether respondents are U.S. citizens. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano.
This is a significant defeat for the Trump administration and for the president personally, who, of course, wanted this question on there, and I think had understandable reasons for wanting it on there.
He was speaking on Fox News. The high court also punting a key case involving the political process of drawing congressional districts, or gerrymandering. The justices say they can't decide an issue that should be up to state lawmakers. The ruling 5-4, and this is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable. And save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Right up.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of the program and the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. I wanted to talk to you for a minute. I want to follow up on one more part of that story before the break, the social media story. And that is, a few years ago, I was on a panel at our Crown Trophy annual meeting. And I would say this goes back 4 or 5 years. There were five of us on the panel, and we were asked for our thoughts on social media. Four of the gentlemen on the panel said they don't use it, they don't see the need for it, that they don't see how it's going to help their business. I was the dissenting opinion. I said I absolutely use it, and that it's helped grow my business. And the other part of it is, think of the next generation of buyers, the millennials, Gen Z, etc. They're all there. You see them all the time on their cell phones. They're looking for businesses. They're looking for everything from plumbers to where can they get food to things like that, and they're doing it on their phone. They're not looking in the yellow pages. They're not looking at ads in newspapers. They're not even reading newspapers. So you need to be where your audience is, and your audience is on social media. And we're going to have a discussion on social media at our upcoming summer meeting. It'll be interesting to see how the attitudes have shifted, or if they've shifted, as it pertains to social media. So we'll let you know on that. Now let's talk about podcasts and the ones you should be listening to, particularly if you're looking to increase your marketing knowledge. Now, if you are eager to expand your marketing knowledge in an entertaining, easy-to-digest format, then business podcasts offer advice from entrepreneurs from all walks of life that you can listen to anywhere at any time. All of our radio shows here are archived, and you can go back at any time and listen. So if you can't catch the show live, a day later, it's archived, and you can pick it up then. But I want to go over a couple of shows with you and why I think you should be listening to them. When can you listen to a podcast? You can listen in your car on the way to work, on the train on the way to work. If you get a break at lunch or something and you want to just, you know, quickly dial it up on your phone or on your computer and listen, at home, on your personal time. Remember the rule of eights. 3 hours or 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, 8 hours personal time. You have plenty of time to do this. So with literally thousands of podcasts on the web, where should you start? Here are some of the top-rated shows that I think you should try. First is The Tim Ferriss Show. Now, Tim Ferriss has a lot to brag about. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He's a tech investor and is included on Fortune's 40 Under 40 list. The Tim Ferriss Show explores how successful companies approach marketing. Give this podcast a listen to learn innovative marketing tricks honed by the best in the business. Anybody who's ever said to me, I don't know what to do with marketing, I don't know how to market, I don't know where to market, I'm not creative, this is a show I want you listening to. The Sophisticated Marketers Podcast. Jason Miller hosts the Sophisticated Marketers Podcast. Now, does that name sound familiar? He happens to work for none other than LinkedIn. Episodes discuss what it's like to be a senior content marketing manager within the company. There are also interviews with other marketing professionals analyzing the field's changing landscape. Another show would be The Marketing Companion. Brooke Sellis and Mark Schaefer host The Marketing Companion, which commentates on developments in digital business. Fans praise the pair for their comedic approach and professional insight, creating a delightful and enlightening listen. Guests often appear to provide fresh takes and a good laugh. Now, because it's touted as the funniest business podcast, this is a good choice if you hate bland discussions. Another podcast to listen to would be Entrepreneurs on Fire. If you want to hear the origin stories of the world's most successful entrepreneurs, Entrepreneurs on Fire is for you. Toasted by John Lee Dumas. And this podcast features interviews with several business owners who took risks that paid off. If you need some information before the daily grind, then Entrepreneurs on Fire can help you find or reignite your passion for business. The Content Champion Podcast. Listeners who enjoy the minutiae of content marketing are likely to enjoy the Content Champion Podcast. This show carefully examines both the scientific and artistic components that make marketing successful. If you're on the hunt for new techniques, the Content Champion Podcast delivers in every episode. The Rise Podcast is the product of husband and wife duo Rachel and Dave Hollis. She's a New York Times bestselling author and motivational speaker. He's a previous Disney executive and current CEO of the company he owns with his wife. Needless to say, these two have a wealth of experience to share. Mixergy. If you ever feel like you could use a mentor to see you through rough patches, Mixergy has hosted over 1,000 experts over the course of its run, each providing invaluable insight. Business owners share their struggles and solutions so you can learn from their mistakes and triumphs. Then there's Copyblogger FM. Copyblogger FM puts a laser focus on creating outstanding content. In each episode, you can learn about up-and-coming technology as well as techniques in the digital marketing sphere. It's an excellent way to stay on top of trends and strategies. When you run your own business, it can be difficult to find time for professional development. Each of these podcasts offers a great way to learn without taking time away from your priorities. Again, do it on your personal time, in the car. I don't care if you do it in the bathroom. Just do it. You have to, in business, I think it's so important, and it's almost shameful how many business owners, when I ask them, what are you doing as far as continuing education, they say nothing. They're basically working in their business, and that's it. And the business won't grow that way. Now, if you're a doctor, if you're a physician's assistant, if you're an EMT or a paramedic, you have to go through what is called continuing education. You're going to have to attend seminars. You're going to have to go to different lectures. You're going to have to do some practical work. That's going to make you better in your field. And the same holds true in business. So any way that you can make yourself better, reading books, watching videos, listening to these podcasts, by all means, you're going to want to do it. To make your business better. And those that don't, I think, you know, are hurting themselves. They're going to blame everybody else, but they're really hurting themselves as to why their company won't grow. And it's a shame that, unfortunately, they never look in the mirror to say, you know, it's their fault, and that's why, because they didn't put forth the effort. Let's talk about seasonal hiring for a minute. I've watched a friend of mine's business since March of this year. You've heard me mention him on the show before, Josh from Joshua's Landscaping. Hopefully he's listening, as he usually does every week. So this next story is called A Guide to Seasonal Hiring. And I feel bad for Josh because every year it's pretty much the same story. He's always looking for new workers. When he does hire somebody, they either don't show or they quit after the first day. And understandably, landscaping is not the easiest of jobs. But it's a great job for someone, you know, in college over the summer. It's a great job for high school students to make extra money. And if you're currently unemployed, I don't know why you're being so proud that you can't get behind a lawnmower and do that. Or in Josh's business, help out on some of the hardscaping projects that he has. Now, most businesses have seasons where they tend to have more customers. And lawn care businesses seem to thrive in the summer. Retail organizations hit their peak during the holiday season. Flower shops go into overdrive over Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. Now, even if your employees are a great team, often there's no possible way to manage the extra business without bringing extra help on board. But it can be a challenge to hire those extra workers. So why is seasonal hiring so difficult? Well, hiring one person to work in your organization is often a long process. Hiring seasonal employees who will only be there a few weeks can be just as stressful. Most businesses aren't prepared to onboard a team of employees in just a few days. Some businesses post seasonal jobs too late or write bad job descriptions. Small businesses don't have the infrastructure to hire a team of people all at once. And it's difficult to attract the right applicants, screen applications, and track the process all while still running your business. And keep in mind that in today's economy, where we have 7.5 million open jobs and 3 million capable people to fill them, there is a huge shortage of talent out there. So how can your business manage seasonal hiring successfully? Well, first of all, instead of waiting until the last minute to hire seasonal employees, you need to have a plan. So take out a calendar and figure out when you're going to need your seasonal workers. If you're a landscaper and it's time to start doing lawn cleanups in February and March, you should be looking in December and January. If you have data from last year, look at the days when you had the heaviest traffic. Track how many extra shifts you needed to add to your schedule. You want about a two-month head start on recruiting. Before you calculate how many added employees you need, talk to your current staff to see if any can pick up additional shifts during the holiday season. Understandably, you don't want to pay overtime, but if you have part-time employees who can work full-time for a few weeks, you won't have to onboard new people, and it can save you time and money. With your seasonal candidates, you're going to want to have to write a clear job description. So to attract good candidates, you need a good job description that clearly outlines the role and the responsibilities. Include information about the shifts, the pay, and the hours needed. This helps you filter out applicants who aren't going to be happy with your offer. You also want to target the right demographics. To find seasonal workers, you have to look for people who want seasonal jobs. College students, stay-at-home moms, and retired seniors are typical demographics who want to pick up some extra cash during the holiday season. You'll need to take a multi-pronged approach to find good candidates. So start by asking your employees if they know anyone. Reach out on social media to your followers. Publish an ad in the local newspaper and use online hiring sites. You want to use resources for high-volume hiring. It's estimated that the job posting gets about 50 applicants on average. If you're hiring seasonal workers, you may not be ready to screen thousands of applications on your own. You may want to invest in a tech solution that helps you screen applicants and track their progress. Depending on the size of your current team, you could hire an HR consultant to help you manage your hiring process. And when you do hire somebody, you need to onboard them quickly. Seasonal workers have a lot of options. When you have a plan to get them through the onboarding process and up to speed fast, you can prevent them from jumping ship to another retailer that is more prepared and simply just going to pay them another 50 cents more an hour. So be ready to get the paperwork processed quickly, have a good training system in place. Stay in touch with your seasonal workers. At the end of the season, keep the contact information of your best hires and ask them to come back next time you have a seasonal rush. If they return, again, you're going to save time and energy in the training process. So there's just a couple of hints on what may help you when you're looking at seasonal employees. Hopefully, it'll be a little easier next time around. But again, the key thing, as I mentioned in several different stories as it pertains to marketing, is planning ahead. Don't wait until April when the grass is already needing to be cut to put out an ad, saying that you need help. Do that in February. Do it in March. Especially for the kids in college who haven't locked down positions yet, get to them early and say, hey, when you get home from college, come see me. And I may only have work for you for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but while you're looking for work, you can come help me. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Trump administration's tariffs could affect you and your business. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program. Having a few of our own technical difficulties today as the microphone would rather sit on the desk than stand in the air here, but we'll get through it. So there's been a lot of talk lately about Donald Trump's tariffs and how that could affect your business. It recently came across my desk with a couple of emails from some of our vendors that they're going to be passing on the costs of certain items to us. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, as my prices increase, as my costs increase, so do my prices. It's a very simple dynamic. I can't eat all of these increases, so I have to pass them on to my customers. My problem is that because our catalog is printed in January and distributed, people see the price online, they see the price in the catalog, that's the price they want to pay. And then when they come into the store and I explain to them, well, because of tariffs, the marble costs more, the plastic costs more, the figures cost more, the hardware costs more, I can't honor those prices, they get a little ticked off. So in May of 2019, the Trump administration's tariff hike on Chinese imports took effect, and the tariff increase was no small jump either. It climbed from 10% to 25%, and this affected about $200 billion worth of goods. The president also threatened to raise tariffs on the remaining $350 million worth of Chinese goods coming into America. Now, some economists say that Trump had good reason to impose higher tariffs on Chinese goods. The president himself also cites a need to protect American businesses. Major threats include the loss of intellectual property and aggressive competition from subsidized Chinese manufacturers. Most people agree that the reasons are sound, however, few agree that the method is appropriate. So here's how the tariff increases could affect your business and your personal finances. You'll see higher prices at the store on just about everything. Now, when tariffs stood at 10%, American companies absorbed most of that cost. They did so through budgeting, successful negotiations, and accepting lower profit margins. Some companies also beefed up their inventory with bulk imports before the tariff took effect. These methods may not prove successful with such a high increase. This means that American consumers will pay the price. Now, according to the New York Times, these are just a few of the popular goods that American customers can expect to pay more for. Some may really hurt, and others not so much. Soy sauce, toilet paper, strawberry jam, Christmas tree lights, computers and their parts, cars, trucks, and their parts. And what this means is that in your business, if you carry some of those items, you're going to see lower profit margins in your business. Almost every retail business in America sells goods that were either manufactured in China or uses some Chinese manufactured parts. If you are a service provider, you may at first feel like you dodged the bullet. Closer inspection is likely to prove otherwise. You may still rely on furniture, equipment, and tools made by Chinese manufacturers or that use Chinese parts. Now, if Trump follows through with his threat to tax the remaining Chinese imports, almost no business in America will remain unaffected. CNBC predicts that this will translate into lower profit margins. To make matters worse, China has retaliated by seeking non-American suppliers, further reducing profitability for American businesses. And you'll see soaring unemployment rates. Payroll is one of the largest costs on a company's spreadsheet, so it comes as no surprise this is the first cost many companies try to reduce. When this happens, employees may lose the opportunity to work overtime. Others may see their hours reduced from full-time to part-time, and positions may become redundant. You may find yourself making some of these these tough decisions for your own business. Meanwhile, family and friends who are traditionally employed may also lose their jobs. This will cause an increase in the unemployment rate. Forbes estimates that the current tariffs will wipe out about 94,300 full-time jobs. Jobs are still moving overseas. Another contributing factor to unemployment could be job migration. American companies may choose to set up shops in India or the Philippines. Others may maintain a presence in America, but outsource key functions such as payroll, manufacturing, and IT. Foreign labor in third world countries often costs a fraction of what it costs to hire Americans.
This is one of the main reasons that companies move overseas, even when the economy is doing well. The host country may also have a much better relationship with China, making it cheaper to manufacture overseas and then ship it to America. You'll probably see some profits for tech companies. Now, if you own a tech company, you may be one of the few companies that profit from the trade war between China and America. Yes, you may face higher costs for computer hardware and equipment. However, the fact that companies will have a high demand for your services may balance this out. How so? As more companies reduce their human workforce, AI alternatives will become necessary. Put simply, companies will need to automate more of their processes. Tech companies that specialize in productivity software and robotics could spearhead the solutions that companies need. Machines and software are costly initial investments, and still they don't need salaries, healthcare, lunch breaks, or vacation time. Once companies get into the habit of an AI alternative, the unemployment rate may only become worse. Innovation at companies. On the other hand, as an old Greek philosopher once noted, necessity is the mother of invention. Some companies may turn to new technology to cut their costs. Others may capitalize on human intelligence to increase revenue. This may involve creating new products, offering new services, or launching remarkable marketing campaigns. Companies may also work on improving quality to match the rising costs. This may work best for companies that lowered production levels to reduce operation costs. After all, the rarer a product is, the higher its value. Business models based on product rarity are seen in the success of luxury brands such as Rolex and Bentley. The new tariffs put in place by the Trump administration may be exactly what the American economy needs. It might just compel companies to find new and creative ways to reduce costs and increase revenue. However, history has shown the opposite. When American businesses struggle, Americans lose jobs, household incomes plummet, and the cost of living increases. So lots to consider there with regards to the tariffs. Like I said, it just hit our company this week. We got a letter from several of our vendors indicating that they're having to increase prices, and on many of the products that we use, and we're no longer able to absorb those costs, which we had done in the past. And as I mentioned, it's getting to the point where now we have to raise our prices, and our customers are not too happy with us as a result. So it's something that we have to watch. The G20 summit's going to happen this week. There's a lot of talk that Trump will meet with China, Trump will meet with Russia, hopefully Trump will meet with Iran to defuse that situation, and then hopefully we can come out of this summit with something that will benefit all the countries, and hopefully get us on the path to stabilization just a little bit quicker. It's currently 12:54, and had a quick story here. But I think I want to save it for next week, because it's about how, or the next time we get together on July 11th, which is how your local chamber of commerce can boost your business. I'm going to save that story for the next time we get together, because I think it's something that as we head into the fall, when we get into the Business Expo and other programs put on by the chamber, I think seeing the value in your chamber membership is going to be something good, and I want to do a little bit more research on that as well, so that we can have a good conversation about having a good chamber membership, both for you and what the chamber offers. Again, there won't be a show next week. The Chamber of Commerce offices here in Hunterdon County will be closed, so I want to wish you a very happy, healthy 4th of July. Make sure you get out there, spend time with family and friends, and you know, whether you're going to the beach, to the lake, or just hanging out at home for a staycation, you know, enjoy yourselves and get a little bit of rest going, so that when you come back, you're ready and raring to go for the rest of the year. Now, again, we're at the end of the month of June. So in the first show this year, back on January 3rd, I said that every quarter you had to start looking at your numbers. And in business, again, it's very important to know your numbers. So Saturday closes the month of June. It's time to do a data dump and find out where are you at in sales. Are you up? Are you down? Are you at, you know, zero growth? What are you doing to combat this? And what if you are growing, what are you doing that seems to be working better than it ever did in the past? So this is a good week to download your numbers. Next week with the vacation and the holiday, take a couple hours and review those numbers and see if there's if you're behind schedule, what do you need to do to bring those numbers up? And if you're ahead of the curve, how do you maintain that momentum? And also, as we look for the next 6 months, What is your marketing plan for the third quarter? What are you going to be doing to market your business as we get through the rest of the summer months, then back to school, Halloween, fall, Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc.? In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National League. In NASCAR news, Martin Truex Jr. dominated last week's Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma Raceway. This week, the teams head to Chicagoland Speedway for the Overton's 400 on Sunday at 3 p.m. That race can be seen on NBC Sports Network. In soccer, in the Women's World Cup, Norway plays England today at 3 p.m., and the United States plays the host country, France, tomorrow, also at 3 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court says the Trump administration cannot add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. Kiri Severino is the chief counsel to the Judicial Crisis Network. She tells Fox News regarding a citizenship question, this has all been done before.
The citizenship question is something that for most of our history has been asked on the census in one form or another. It's something that hasn't been asked of every American in recent decades because there's a shorter form that's used.
Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the court's four liberals in a 5-4 ruling. President Trump is set to meet with the president of China at the G20 summit on Thursday to talk trade, and over 17 million people tuned in to the first Democratic debate on Wednesday night. The second round of that will be tonight in Miami, Florida, where the other 10 candidates, including former Vice President Joe Biden, will take the stage. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi. I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
On Wednesday, journalists were allowed to tour a detention facility near El Paso, Texas, where illegal alien children are being taken care of. Reports out of that facility say the children are being housed in an industrial-sized garage with cots and makeshift bunk beds. The children all appeared to be in relatively good health. All of this as the Senate Homeland Security Committee was holding a hearing as well. At that hearing, Randy Kahn with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection says,
but the fact is that the conditions at our ports of entry have not improved. Most every statistic is higher. More inadmissible migrants are at our southwest ports of entry, long wait times, more detainees in custody.
The busy week continues for the highest court in the land. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
The U.S. Supreme Court has punted a key case involving partisan gerrymandering, which is the political process of drawing congressional districts. In a North Carolina case, the justices said they can't decide an issue that's up to state legislatures, the ruling 5-4.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now.